Many of us wish we were creative. We see the work of creative people and think, if only I could do that. Well, you won't get anywhere by not trying. And that's what Austin Kleon is all about. More than trying, stealing. He explains in his new book, The Steal Like an Artist Journal. It's a sequel. See, Austin Kleon is a writer who draws. He's the author of the New York Times bestsellers, Steal Like an Artist and Show Your Work. His work has been featured in NPR's Morning Edition, PBS NewsHour, and in the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, among other places. Austin, glad to have you here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, steal like an artist. Do you not consider yourself an artist?
Well, I call myself a writer who draws. You know, that artist term is really loaded. I'm not sure that I'm an artist, but I guess there is an art to what I do.
Okay, we'd have to agree there. Now, interesting, you pull some quotes in here. Did Picasso really say that artists steal?
He said artists theft. The thing that's mostly, you know, you'll usually hear that bad artists copy, great artists steal, and that's attributed to him. He actually never really said that. It was T.S. Eliot.
Oh.
And T.S. Eliot said, immature poets imitate, mature poets steal. And that's really the line that the Steal Like an Artist Journal, that's the quote that all comes forth from, is that the really great artists, they take the things that they've stolen and they turn it into something new, something that we've never seen before that they then put out into the world.
So the point is not to appropriate somebody else's stuff and call it your own, but to build upon what they've done.
That's right. That's the like an artist part. A lot of times people just hear the steal part and they don't hear the like an artist part. It's all about transforming these little bits and pieces that you've stolen from others into a new thing. One of my favorite quotes is from a guy named Wilson Misner that not a lot of people know of, but they've heard what he said. He said, if you steal from one author, it's plagiarism. If you steal from 100, you can call it research.
He's got a good point there, doesn't he? So there are different levels of stealing. So I want you to refine this for us just a bit. So what do you mean? I mean, what's the basic process we should be approaching here?
Well, you know, what the journal is trying to get people to do is just to pay attention. That's something that we're really lacking, is to really pay attention to your life and to be like a kleptomaniac, always casing the joint, you know, casing your world looking for those little bits and pieces that you can steal. And so that's really what the journal is trying to do. It's trying to get people to pay attention, first of all, because we're a distracted culture, you know. We're all, like, hooked up to email and Twitter and, you know, texting, and we don't take a lot of time to pay attention to those things that are influencing us and give it time and get it down onto paper so we can do something with it.
It seems like all the good artists we talk to really talk about being observers. They're really good at soaking in the stuff in their surroundings and just notice things, writers and artists alike. So this is a lot of what you're talking about, is just opening your eyes and looking.
Yeah, and I think what's cool about looking is that it's a verb and that it's a kind of muscle, and that, you know, we think about creativity as being something innate, that some people are good at it and some people aren't, but I think you can teach people how to pay attention. You can teach people how to look better. And so that's a skill that all of us can learn. We can all learn how to pay better and closer attention to our lives and then therefore mine it for good material.
All right, so I want to make it clear, we're not, your latest book is not the original Steal Like an Artist, but the Steal Like an Artist Journal. Can you explain the layout a bit?
So yeah, the journal is designed as a kind of creativity crash course. You know, when I open up a new notebook and you look at the blank page, it can be kind of terrifying, you know. You feel kind of paralyzed. You don't know what to fill the page with. And so when I was in middle school, I had a great English teacher, Mrs. Neff, and instead of telling us to just write in our journals for 10 minutes, she would put a prompt on the board and tell us exactly what to write about. And by telling us exactly what to write about, it made it easier to do the writing. And so I guess I kind of ripped off Mrs. Neff for this journal, and the journal is full of prompts. So at the top of a blank page, you'll have a prompt that tells you what to write about, and that's supposed to be a little nudge to get you going and kind of spark your own creativity.
Now, I can see the spirit of Mrs. Ness on a page I just flipped open to, where it says, take a long hot shower or a bath, fill this page when you're done.
Yeah, there's something about, you know, you have to get kind of relaxed to be creative. You have to, like, kind of loosen up in order to get those juices flowing. And so a shower, a nap, you know, there's all these really mundane things that you can do to get relaxed enough to get your brain going.
Austin Kleon's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He calls himself a writer who draws, but you can call him an artist. What the heck? His latest book is called The Steal Like an Artist Journal, which is a companion to the original Steal Like an Artist. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. By phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Feel free to share some of your own experiences or frustrations, perhaps, with art and trying to create it. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. You know, since it is set up like a journal, there's a fair amount of stuff that you can write in here, and a fair amount of stuff, obviously, a non-artist can do, keeping lists and all. But what do you say to the people who might blanch, for example, at drawing cartoons of their day and so forth?
Well, I think that, you know, part of being a creative person is not being embarrassed, is having that willingness to look stupid. And I think as adults, you know, I have young children right now, and they have no filter. They don't have any sort of self-awareness. And so my son, if you sit down and ask him to draw something, he'll draw something for you. You ask him to sing for you, he'll sing for you. There's something awful that happens in between being kids and being adults, in which we become self-conscious and we lose access to all that creativity that we already have inside us. And so a lot of people who kind of blanch at the, like, oh, I'm not going to do those silly exercises. Being silly is part of the deal. Like, being silly is part of being a creative person and being playful and loosening up. That's what it's all about. And so in some ways, the sillier and more playful you can be, the better ideas you're going to have.
But there are a lot of people who would say that art has to come with a lot of discipline as well, and it must be a tough one to find that space, though, between the discipline to do what you need to do to get your task done, but also the childlike awareness of the world around you that gives you the spirit of fun to get started.
Sure, absolutely, and it's that balance, just as in anything else in life. It's balancing that childlike wonder and that kind of joy and in noticing new things with that discipline. And so the journal kind of attempts to do both. It's giving you these fun exercises, but then it asks of you to do the disciplinary work of sitting down every day and spending 15 minutes on your journal. So it's kind of balancing fun and discipline at the same time.
So, Austin, is it a progressive kind of thing? Like, by the end of this book, you'd be able to draw a picture of a dog or a 747 or something?
Well, I don't know that it's progressive in drawing terms. It's progressive in idea terms. The book is really about getting ideas. And so it starts in the beginning. You'll notice the prompts are a little bit easier in the beginning. It's more fill-in-the-blank type stuff. And then as you progress throughout the journal, the prompts get more open-ended, and there's more room for your own work. And hopefully what happens is if you start in the beginning, you loosen up and you start, you know, doing the exercises. And then as you go on, you work those muscles. It's just like a good workout. You know, you start out, you can only do 5 push-ups. And at the end of, you know, your time, you know, a couple of months, you can do 30.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff in here, like the 30-day challenge. Every day I will blank. After I do, I will put an X in the box, and you show 30 days. I will not break the chain. After 30 days, I get. And you get to list a reward for yourself there.
That's right. Yeah. I think rewards and bribery is really important. It's something I've learned about parenting, is it's like, you know, people talk about bribes. You got to use them in the right way, you know, but we all need kind of bribes to do things and to see the reward at the end of the tunnel, so to speak.
Well, this is an unusual book in a number of ways, not the least of which is you're encouraged to draw in this book. So those of you who are feeling like Mrs. Buden from the elementary school library might break your knuckles for defacing the book, you're okay with doing it in the Steal Like an Artist journal. But there's also the swipe file. Tell us about the swipe file in here, Austin.
So this is something I stole from newspaper reporters. newspaper reporters have something called a morgue file, and that's where they keep all their old clippings. And I like this idea of having a file of clippings, so I came up with the swipe file. What the swipe file is, it's a little envelope or a folder in which you collect all the little ephemera of your day that kind of you like ticket stubs or receipts or little scraps of paper. You throw it all in the swipe file, and then when you need some inspiration or you need to think about, you know, the things that you've done, you just open up the swipe file and you dump it out and you see what's in there.
So if you get out of the hot shower and you're trying to think of something to write about, reach in the folder, pull out the stuff you put in your swipe file and go, oh, okay, I'll work on this.
Yeah, there's another exercise in there that says find an old receipt and try to remember what you were doing the day you made the purchase.
I noticed that one, but not for the least of which you digitized out the phone number so nobody can call the barbecue joint. But
exactly.
It was just an interesting concept. I thought, where's he going to go with this? Because this is great reproduction of the wrinkled receipt. And then it says try to recreate the day. And I thought, wow, that is really interesting. That's something other than like don't remember the meal necessarily alone, but the day.
Yeah, what were you doing? I like that these little mundane details about our lives can bring about these really big, sublime memories. And I think that so much of the journal is about paying attention to those things in your life that you don't pay attention to, because there's so much rich material in our lives. We already have enough material to write about or make work from or invent things with. We're just not paying attention to it.
And in that particular example, the idea being, at least for me, that you can look back and realize, you know, instead of looking ahead for rich experiences, I can look back and find some as well. You know, I realize, oh, wait, that's the day I had the banana cream pie, and I had it because I had a bad day doing this, but I've now since solved that problem, you know, something like that.
Yeah, there's something really comforting about looking back, you know, and feeling how you've progressed throughout time. And that's another benefit of journaling, is just having a record of your life and being able to track your progress, or, you know, in my case, a lot of times it's a lack of progress. I'll have what I think is a great idea, and then I'll go back in my notebooks and say, oh, no wonder I think it's a good idea. I had it about 2 years ago.
Austin Kleon's our guest. The Steal Like an Artist Journal is his latest book. So let's talk about those notebooks you just mentioned. What is in your journals, and how many shelves do they fill now?
Oh, gosh, a couple of shelves for sure. I've been keeping a notebook and a sketchbook and a journal for about 20 years now, ever since Mrs. Neff's class. And there's all kinds of stuff. And the cool thing about a journal is it's a blank book, and so it can change, the contents change along with your interests. So, you know, when I went to college, I thought that writing was the more serious thing to do with my life, and so those notebooks are full of poetry and my attempts to be deep and write good literature, which were all failures. And then post-college, I started getting into art and drawing again, and so my journals got more, you know, colorful and full of drawings and stuff like that. And now I'm a parent, and I travel a lot, and I'm working all the time, so my journals are more scrapbooky. They have a lot of collages and weird, like, clippings and stuff, you know, a mix of images and writing. And so that's the other thing I love about a notebook. No matter what your profession or what point in your life you're in, you know, whether you're a teenager or whether you're a retiree, a paper notebook can accommodate you, and you can fill it with whatever you want.
I wonder if you've had any correspondence, or if you had a chance to meet Danny Gregory, the Art Before Breakfast guy. We had him on earlier this year, and it was a similar kind of stuff where you're being encouraged to unleash your creative side.
Yeah, Danny sent me his books, and they're great. I've never actually hung out with Danny, but his work is really interesting to me, and I think he's fighting the same fight in a way. You know, he's getting people to integrate art. People think that they need like some beautiful studio or like 6 months sabbatical to go and make their art. And the thing that I like about Danny's work and the work that I try to do is I try to say, you know, you don't need that great studio. You don't need that sabbatical. What you need is to sit down on your lunch break in the basement of your office and just work for 15 minutes and just work in little bits and pieces. And those little bits and pieces, they accumulate over time into something great.
So in the Steal Like an Artist Journal, there's an example of blackout poetry. And I'm curious to know about, tell us what it is, first of all, and how you got started on it.
So I hit a really nasty case of writer's block, and one day I looked over in the recycle bin next to my desk, and I saw all these newspapers, and I thought, man, I don't have any words, and right there in the newspaper are millions of them. And so what I started doing is I took an article from the newspaper, and I started blacking out words I didn't like and leaving in the words that I did. And at the end, it sort of looked like if the CIA did haiku.
It does.
So I called it Newspaper Blackout Poems, and then it got shortened into Blackout Poetry. And it's weird. It's kind of become this movement across the internet. There's all sorts of people doing blackout poetry from all sorts of materials. I use the newspaper because no one cares if you use an old newspaper. Some people use books, and then people get really upset at them. But in the Steal Like an Artist Journal, there's actually an old spread from Moby Dick, because Moby Dick is out of copyright now, so we can reproduce it.
I noticed that. It is Moby Dick and not the newspaper, and I wondered if that's a bit of a taller mountain to climb for some people, and it sounds like it is.
Yeah, I like this idea of, it really gets to the heart of the Steal Like an Artist ethos. Can you take this great piece of literature, and can you turn it into something of your own? So that's one of my favorite challenges in the book.
So do you think, Austin, that there are lots of people who do not attempt creative endeavors because they think somebody did their idea already?
I think so. I mean, I think that that attempt to be original, I think it really paralyzes a lot of people, and they worry about the originality of their work instead of, the quality of their work. I mean, it's true in science or any other field. There are all sorts of people working on the same idea or the same project or the same problem, but ideas are all about the execution, and it's all about figuring out what problem or what kind of work you're trying to attempt that you can attempt with your skill set. And so it's about, like, what can you execute? And so, I'm always pushing people, worry a little bit less about being original and worry about the quality and what you have to offer and what you can do. So maybe a little less about originality and more about being unique.
Is this sort of the next level up from drawing mustaches on famous paintings?
Well, maybe. I mean, I think that vandalism is...
Well, I didn't mean the paintings themselves, but pictures of them, but...
Yeah, I mean, vandalism is kind of a response to what's come before. I mean, every artist reacts to what came before them, and part of the act of creation, in a way, is also one of destruction. And so there's, the things that bother you in the world, like the things that you really, the songs that you hate or the art that repulses you or the movies you can't stand. What's the opposite? What can you do? What can you put in the world that's different? How can you paint over them with your own stuff, And so I think negativity, in a way, can be just as generative to creativity as being positive.
Huh. You intuited the next question, because it was about the dual lists of things that motivate and annoy you. And I guess by looking at the things that annoy you, you can figure out what it is that motivates you.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just about what you love. It's also about what you don't love, like what you want to correct in the world. And I think that's part of the, that was part of the fun. When I do blackout poetry workshops with high schoolers, some of the quote unquote worst students, whatever that means, whether they're troublemakers for the teachers or whether they have a harder time integrating into the classroom setting, they're the ones that love the blackout poetry the most, because it's an excuse to kind of tear down these lofty texts that are always in front of us, and to really be playful and have your own voice. And so that there's always this kind of element of destruction in creativity, which is kind of it's a paradox. It's interesting.
There's a great tweet in what you said about blackout poetry, if the CIA did haiku.
Yeah, that's kind of the trademark, I think. That's kind of the phrase I use to describe it to people that sticks.
It's a lot of fun, and it's a chance for people to take the stuff that you put out there in Steal Like an Artist and turn it into their own work in the Steal Like an Artist Journal. Austin Kleon put it together, and he joined us today in the exchange. Austin, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a blast.
It's a pleasure. Take care.